Hallelujah. I'd like to go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. I've been preaching from this, beginning from this verse the last, I think, 3 weeks. But I just feel I need to stay with this, stay on this. Hebrews 5, 7 says, who, speaking of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. I'll just do a little bit of a review, and then we'll go into some more different things here that come out of this. In the days of his flesh, Jesus, and the words when he had, it's not there in the Greek. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer. That's what he did. It's how he lived. It's not like a one-time thing. This is how he lived. We want to follow the pattern and the example of Jesus, which we see here. He offered up prayer and supplications with strong crying and tears. There was a fervency in his prayer. A lot of times there was like a dire situation before him, and that will bring forth a fervency. You know, there are times people pray just sort of out of routine, pray from their head, and that's okay. But there are times, you know, someone's life depends on your prayer faith. I remember realizing that in the early years of beginning to pastor, and I realized I cannot allow myself to be in a place that I can't pray a prayer of faith at any moment's notice. That's a luxury I don't have. You know, sometimes people have, they get offended or have unforgiveness or something. They hang on to it for 3 days. What if you needed to pray a prayer of faith in that time? Guess what? You're not going to have it. But when we realize I need to be ready at all times, then I make sure that I abide in the Spirit or stay in the Spirit at all times, which is very easy to do. And that is, as soon as you realize you sin, be quick to repent. If someone offends you, be quick to forgive them. Yes. When the Lord speaks to you, be quick to obey. And thus we stay in the Spirit. Well, there's times there's a need for strong prayer. And there might be a compassion there that brings forth tears. It says he prayed to him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. From death, that word from is ek, which means out of. Death's all around us. Every day, it's all around us. But we don't have to be afraid because the greater one's in us. He's with us. We have a covenant. There's promises that speak to whatever would concern us. But he's able to save us out from the influences of sin and death, which is all around. Then it says he was heard and that he feared. And the four English words in that he feared are a phrase, but it's just one word in the Greek, apo, which means from, to hear from someone else. So what it's saying here, Jesus, this is how he walked in the days of his flesh. He offered up prayer because he knew he needed the power of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom of God, that the things around him, be it sin, devils, circumstance, death, it's not going to overtake him. And this puts you in a place of freedom from fear. If we know the Lord's with us, well, whom shall I fear? Excuse me. And he heard from the Father. He heard a word from God. Even though he was a son, he needed to pray, and he needed a word from God, and he lived from word to word, and that's how we're to live, from a word to God to a word to God. Now, we should renew our mind daily and read the Bible, but then there's things that are a word to you that chart the course of your journey, and that's different. You might walk for years in the light of one word, and when that's fulfilled or that time's come, well, then there should be another word. We have the pattern of the children of Israel journeying out from Egypt to the promised land, and there were 42 stopping places. And when a cloud would stop, the cloud by day or fire by night, they were to stop. And the name of each place was significant. It meant something, and it would pick up and move again. Well, that's a picture to us. For us, we move on in our life from word to word, and there might be sometimes there's many years until something's fulfilled, and something else may be a few days. With the children of Israel, sometimes they'd be somewhere a few days and sometimes for years until that 40-year time was finished. So Jesus, he acquired the habit of obeying God. And the things which he suffered or the pressure upon him caused him to become a habitual, obedient son. And that's because, you go back to verse 7, he knew that it's the Spirit of God to deliver him out from the influence of death that's all around him. And, you know, Satan's demons and everything else, the religious system, the hatred of man, the envy of man. He knew it was the Spirit of God to deliver him out. So he continued to go to the Father in prayer, because the things which he suffered or that which came against him, because he was looking to God, it kept forcing him back to God. And thus he developed the habit of that, the habit of obedience. You don't wait until a crisis to go to God. We should go to him every day, because we understand that whether we're feeling the effects of sin and death, the effects of the sin in man, whether we're feeling it or not, it's always there. And it's going to try to hinder you from doing the will of the Father. So therefore, we continue to go to God for deliverance and also to hear from him, a word from him. Verse 9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. Made perfect, one word in the Greek, teleou, which speaks to maturity, to completion, to achieving a goal, depending on the context. The Lord finished the work the Father had for him in that 3-year time. And that's what then positioned him to the next thing. The next thing was to die for us. But he had to fulfill what was before that to come to that. Now, we can understand this by looking at systems of education. There are certain things to be learned at each grade level. And as you learn those, then you can go on to the next. It's a great injustice to pass young students to another grade level when they've not completed what they needed to in that year. For example, if they didn't learn to read properly and you're passing them on and now expecting them to do English literature or something like that, they're lost. If you can't add and subtract and you're going on to mathematics, you will struggle greatly. So certain things need to be accomplished at one place till you go on to the next. So the Lord fulfilled his 3-year ministry in preaching the gospel to the nation of Israel, raising up disciples who would carry things on after his death and resurrection. And it was at that point that as he continued to obey the Father, walk in the light of the word that he had, that he came to completion and then became something else. We are always in a process of becoming something. It's interesting how just in human nature, that desire was placed there by God. You see it in children where they imagine becoming something. You know, a little girl imagines becoming a mommy, becoming a veterinarian, becoming a whatever. The little boy imagines becoming a soldier, becoming a construction worker, becoming a musician. We should always be in a state of becoming more in Christ. And we walk out the revelation and the calling of where he has us, knowing that as we complete that, there'll be even more. When all is done, then it's time to go to heaven. Beam me up, Scotty. It's time to go to heaven. But we continue to become. I remember hearing a lady, Sister Tenney. What was her first name? I forget her first name right now, but her and her husband were in the ministry. And when I heard her, this is probably 10 years ago, she was in her 80s. And she said she didn't even like keeping any pictures of herself because she, in her mind, didn't want to freeze herself to the past. Because in her mind, and just what she said, I want to keep becoming more like Jesus. Now, I don't think God's against us having pictures. It's good for memories and all that. But the point there is that we should not be looking to the past, but rather continue to look forward and imagine becoming more and more like Jesus, not just in terms of like ministry, but especially in terms of our character. Well, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. It was as he fulfilled that 3-year ministry, he was then positioned for that. Previous to that, he had 30 years submitting to his father and mother. And somewhere in that time, Joseph had passed on to be with the Lord, somewhere in that 30-year time. We know Joseph was alive when he was 12. Luke chapter 2 shows us that. But somewhere after that, and it says that he stayed subject to them. You know, if you can't submit yourself, you will not be a good leader. Jesus, I would say, knew more than his parents. Of course, all kids think that when he hit about 15, right? Suddenly they become smart and dad, mom aren't so smart anymore. But Jesus actually did know more. Okay. He's the exception to that. But he didn't exalt himself, even though he actually did know more. He stayed submitted to the authority that was in his life. Then to be water baptized, the reason he said all righteousness must be fulfilled, he submitted himself to the one whom everyone recognized was anointed of the Holy Ghost as a prophet. He submitted to the authority that was recognized because of the anointing. And then he was released on into his ministry. Well, Jesus, in his walk, offered strong prayer, and he continued to look to hear a word from the Father which would empower him, and in the strength of that, he would move on, move forward. That being said, I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. I hit on this a little bit earlier. This is a prophecy of Jesus. When I say earlier, I mean the Bible study time. It's a prophecy about Jesus. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Wisdom always came out of Jesus' mouth. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. And I mentioned earlier, I'm just going to say it again, bears repetition. Just speaking the truth by itself isn't necessarily ministry. It's to say the right word at the right time. And without the leading of the Spirit and the wisdom of God, we'll make a mistake in that almost every time. A lot of people talk out of their head so much they don't know any difference. But we want to learn to speak by the Spirit, that we realize what should be said to someone, when it should be said, and we should even know, am I the one even to say it? You don't even assume that. Just because you're aware someone should hear something doesn't mean you're the one to say it. He says here, he wakens morning by morning, he wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Again, it's prophesying of Jesus. Jesus, as we saw there in Hebrews 5, he heard from the Father and he offered up strong prayer. That was the simple keys to his fulfilling all that God had for him. So it's wise for us to consider separating ourselves to hear. Separating ourselves to hear. Sometimes, you know, my wife will want to talk to me. Maybe we have the television on. She's over at the sink running water and microwave's going. And she's talking. And she'll have to say, and I'll say, Don, I can't hear you, what you just said. And she'll say, well, mute the TV. You have to start to get rid of the noise if you're going to hear. And sometimes it's a process. Mute the TV. Wait till the microwave is finished and turn off the running water. But we have to like bring a quietness in order to hear. And sometimes the bigger problem is all the noise in our head we're allowing to be there. It could be thoughts of worry or fear or whatever it might be. But I find, for me, the best time to hear the Lord is in the morning when I'm waking up and nothing else is on my mind. Because I went to sleep casting all my care on the Lord, confessing who he is and what he's done for us. We pray together in the evening. So you go to sleep in peace, you wake up in peace. And my habit is to just lay for half hour, an hour or so, and just be still. Meditate on the things of God and just listen. So sometimes he speaks a thing to me then, sometimes maybe not. Maybe I'm just meditating, allowing my faith to be generated. But we can live our life in a way where we're so busy and we're just, you know, that we miss everything that's going on around us. You know, with the parable of the Good Samaritan, a traditional interpretation, all those guys were religious and they didn't care. I submit another interpretation, and that is they were too busy to stop. Uh-oh, that could be us. We can have our life so busy that we can't stop to help someone in need, or you can have so much going on in your mind, you can't even hear a cry for help from somebody that's in the same room. And I'm sure we've all erred in that sense before. Hopefully we learn and it becomes less and less and less. But if your mind's wrapped up thinking all these things about yourself, you won't have a sensitivity to the people around you, what they need, or maybe a cry for help. A cry for help. Well, he says here, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as to learn. So we want to expect to hear from God. Expect to. Because he wants to speak to us. Okay, well, let's go to Luke chapter 9. And I want to start, verse 18. And this follows where Jesus had multiplied the bread. He was teaching all day, healed the sick. He was completely pouring out of himself for a couple days, actually. And verse 18 says, it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and they asked, he asked them, who do people say that I am? That's a whole separate teaching. But what I want you to notice is after that intense time of ministry and pouring out, he separated himself in prayer, knowing he needed to be strengthened and built back up again. Sometimes people can allow themselves to just be weakened, 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 push, 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 go, go, go. And what happens, we don't have any renewal of our strength. Now, in the natural, we learn pretty quickly in life that you need to eat to keep your strength up. If you didn't figure that out, your mother told you that. If your mother didn't tell you, your grandmother told you that. And your father told you that. And your grandfather told you that. Eat, boy! Got to keep your strength up. Well, it's like that in a spirit. We need to continue to be strengthened from the Word of God. And we need to continue in prayer. When someone empties themselves, that is someone's most vulnerable time. I generally don't listen to my own preaching. I hear it when I say it. In fact, I rarely listen to anything I say. to tapes and such. I proceed on to pray and get in the Word and fill up again. Now, every now and then, if it was one of those, something came prophetically, it's like, what did I say? I better check back over that. Then maybe I will. But other than that, I don't. It's not that I don't listen to preaching. I just don't listen to me. I hear myself when I'm saying it. But I find the worst time, if you were going to do a critique, the worst time to do it is right after you've ministered. Because you've emptied yourself. You're now vulnerable, more so in your emotions, to feel whatever. Okay, feel whatever that wasn't adequate or what have you. And what's needed is to be re-strengthened. So someone's always pouring out and they don't put back in. They're going to wear down and then be vulnerable. I remember hearing of an Olympic athlete. I think he won 100 meters or something like that. Fastest man in the world. I think his name was Ben Johnson. This is back maybe in the 90s, early 90s. And his whole goal, his whole life was towards winning the gold medal, and he became the fastest. And after he won, he felt, well, is this all there is? And he went in depression because his whole goal was that. Now he has nothing. And he was just very worn down, weak. It's a bad time to think about those things. Sometimes when you're in a lot of pressure or in a crisis, it's best just don't think about certain things, like decisions. Don't make a decision when you're emotionally, you know, distressed and you're wore out and you're tired. That's a very bad time to make a decision. And sometimes people will conclude something and, well, I'm never going to do this again. And they just quit. And they did it out of that emotion. What's needed is we pour out or life's draining us. We have to build ourselves back up again. Now, in another sense, that's part of what Sunday worship should be. We worship the Lord. We have faith for the presence of the Holy Spirit to minister to us. We hear the word, and the word of God ministers to us what we need. We should come with that expectation. Pray and release your faith. Lord, just feed me today. You're my shepherd, Jesus. You bring the word to me today. So here's Jesus after this intense time of ministry. He's praying. Luke really caught this more so than the others because he's the one who mentioned more where Jesus was praying. In Luke 6, verse 12, when he was going to consider who amongst the disciples would be the 12, it says he prayed all night, continued all night in prayer. Now, I want to just say something real bold and straight to you, that people who say, oh, you don't have to pray long, I just pray a couple minutes, that's the voice of justifying an undisciplined life. And I make no reservation of saying that. I don't mean anything against anybody in saying that. But people do these things to justify the fact they're not disciplined. Oh, I'm just led by the Spirit. Well, praise the Lord, you're led by the Spirit. But sometimes people will use something like that because they're undisciplined. And eventually the lack of discipline is going to present itself as a problem in their life. There are times we see in Scripture where Jesus went all night in prayer. Or during the 40-day fast, what do you think he was doing? He went out there playing checkers. You know, he was in prayer and meditating the Word of God. And then when the enemy came, the Word was right there to defeat Satan. Fasting and prayer, much of the time, is in the same sentence. So Jesus had times where there was a great commitment to prayer. And then there was times in the strength of that, he would go forth and do what he had to do. Now, please understand, in life, there are some things in the natural you have to take care of. Hopefully, you all took a shower within the last 12 hours. You ate your dinner. You did the laundry. And on and on and on. You cut the grass. There are things in the natural we have to do. So we don't take this to a point where, well, I'm so spiritual, I don't do anything else. No, we live in this world. You have a body. There are physical needs. There are things we have to tend to. But the key is, what do I do with what's left over? And we recognize we are in the midst of death, and I need to go to God in prayer with a fervency on a regular basis. But there are some times that you need an intense time of separation because you've emptied yourself. Jesus, even though he was Son of God, he walked as a man at the same time. So after he was ministering like this, where he was completely exhausted, and he said to them, let's go aside and pray, he spent that time in prayer, building himself up again. So we go down farther in a chapter, verse 28. And it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, and he said about, the other two, Matthew and Mark said 6 days. I say, aha, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Well, he said about 8 days, and they're saying about six, maybe it was seven, you know, who knows. Some things aren't important to make an issue about. They were recounting this as they remembered it and as they saw it. So about 8 days, it says, after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up to a mountain to pray. He went up a mountain to pray. He was separating himself from all the activity of the world and from the people who were constantly drawing on him. And he went up to pray because he needed to position himself to hear from the Father, to have a fresh word from the Father, because he's at a place right now where things are changing. And a change here is that, you know, he was going about preaching the gospel, but as per what's previous to this, the disciples now understood he was the Christ. They knew who he was, and he began to speak to them that he had to die and be raised up. And they were very depressed over this. And Peter himself began to rebuke the Lord, saying, "Be it far from thee." Why? Because personally, Jesus was so blessed having the presence of Jesus, he didn't want to lose that. So he actually was rebuking the Lord for what the Lord's saying the will of God is. And Jesus rebuked him and said, "You don't know what spirit you're of." He didn't value the things of God. So Jesus is going into a transition, and what he does in going into that transition or that next phase is he is going to pray and seek the Lord until that answer comes. Sometimes people, you know, pray 5 minutes. "Well, I didn't get an answer." Well, we need to have a resolve. I'll pray until I get it. Now, that could stretch over days, weeks, months. I mean, you still have to do the laundry and brush your teeth. But nonetheless, you know, the time that's beyond that, there are times we have to set ourselves to lay hold of that which we need from God and hear a word from God. And this is the place where a lot of believers come up short and their life suffers as a result. There are times there's nothing to substitute other than a word from the Lord. This is the direction you're to go. This is the thing you're to do. This is the truth you need to embrace and confess that you can be free, whatever it might be. But we have to set ourselves in prayer and looking to hear from the Lord. You know, I find this is very sad to me, but people will plan weeks of a year vacations, but won't even take a day to seek God, a whole day, when they need an answer from God. That's become like an epidemic in our country amongst believers. You need a word from God more than you need to sit at the beach or in the mountains or wherever else you like to go. And I don't have a problem with going to the beach or the mountains or enjoying that. But the thing is, that can never take the place of the thing you can only get from God. And there are certain times and certain situations, the only thing that's going to suffice is a word from the Lord. Jesus understood that. He lived according to this. There were the mention of some different times there where he set himself in prayer till he got that word from God and he received whatever anointing he needed and a word that he needed to go forward. So that's the situation here. So he goes up the mountain, takes Peter, James, and John with him. He allows them to be in on this, to see it so they can learn from him. So it says, as he prayed, something happened. The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment or clothing was white and glistening. The glory of God came on Jesus so strong, it's shining out through his clothes. You know, you could take an article of clothing, maybe have like a bright flashlight and shine it through and some light go through. Or maybe if it's really, really thick, maybe nothing's going through. But the glory of God came upon him. His countenance was altered. To look at his face, they saw the glory of God in his eyes and on his face. It's shining right through his clothing. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. The Father sent Moses and Elijah to speak with him. Now, for me, I'm just let that as it is. You know, not make some doctrine up out of it. Like when we pray to dead saints. That's a wrong doctrine. Scripture never tells us to do that. God did send Moses and Elijah to speak to Jesus, and it said, appeared to him in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus is moving forward in the next phase of his life toward the cross. He needs a fresh word from the Father to strengthen him to go forward and complete this task. And God, as he's praying, sends Moses and Elijah. Now, why them? Well, Moses had received the revelation of the priestly ministry and the high priestly ministry. And Jesus is going to fulfill that. And Elijah was taken up. He didn't die. He was caught up into heaven. And the same thing's going to happen with Jesus after the resurrection. He'll be caught up and go to heaven. That's what I would imagine they were talking about. In any case, what they had to say, Jesus needed to hear. Oh, Jesus was Son of God. He didn't need anything. Yeah, but he is also a man. He needed the word from the Lord. God doesn't give you things to entertain you. He gives you a word because you need it at that time. And sometimes a word like this has to do with a transition going forward in what he has for you. You know, younger people, like teenagers, man, it's important. I can't stress enough how important to get an understanding of this. Jesus prayed all night to find out who's going to be his disciples. Don't let yourself get interested in a girl or a guy if you didn't hear from God about it. Because now the flesh is going to make it hard to hear. You know, the emotions, the attachments, and all that type of thing. We need to pray about these things. We need to be in prayer over, Lord, what is your plan for my life? You don't concoct some plan and say, God bless it, God bless it, God bless it. It's what I want to do. That's not God's way, but rather we wait on him, we find what he wants, and then we release faith for what he could give us to do it. That's how we walk through in life. Well, they appeared in glory. They spoke of his death, that he would accomplish his decease. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Now, this tells me something right here. Jesus was praying for quite a while. They had a long day before this. Now they hike up a mountain to be apart to pray. And they're just tired, wore out. Well, how do you think Jesus was? He was the one doing most of the ministry. And they were very, very tired, and they fell asleep. I mean, that's normal. There's times you and I have both been so tired, you can't stay awake any longer, and you just doze off, collapse. That was their situation. Jesus was still in prayer during all this time. So to me, I have to conclude, it was hours he was praying, maybe all night even, but it was definitely hours. And they wake up. And they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him, Moses and Elijah. And it came to pass as they departed, Peter said, as Moses and Elijah were fading away, or however it went, Master, it's good for us to be here. This is great. This is awesome. I could imagine their hair was standing up on their arms and on their neck. Do you ever have a time like that where it's like you get chills and, man, my hair's standing up? I would imagine, you know, and Peter, a lot of times, he was one of these people, he thought he had to say something. So he's the one recorded. Sometimes he said some things that weren't that brilliant or they were out of place. So sometimes better just be quiet and think about it a little bit before you talk. But Peter was just one of those guys. He talked first and thought about it later. Well, he says, Master, it's good to be here. This is great. This is awesome. Can we make three tabernacles or tents? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. He's just blabbering. He didn't even know what he's talking about. Moses and Elijah weren't going to stay there just because you make a tent. But Peter always meant well. He just kind of said some off-the-wall things sometimes. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud, or the cloud came upon them. Because they're wondering what's going on. I mean, they wake up out of their sleep to see the glory on Jesus coming out from him. Here's Moses, here Elijah. They're talking about the Jesus' death. And now a cloud comes over them. It could have been more like not like you think a cloud in the sky, but a glory cloud. And a voice comes out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son." Some of the other versions say, "In whom I'm well pleased, hear him." And a voice was passed. Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close. He told no one to speak of that until after his death and resurrection. So they have this encounter with God. They're a part of it because Jesus is experiencing it. Sometimes you experience something because you're with someone else who is. You know, someone could come here and not really know the Lord or walk with the Lord. And if we're worshiping and the presence of God's manifest, they can experience it because we are entering into that. So sometimes it's like that for people. Jesus included them. He wanted them to learn from this. And they were so taken with the experience that Peter's saying, "I want to stay in this forever." And this same mistake's made many times by believers where there's an encounter with the Lord or experience with God, and they want to keep having that over and over. So they'll revert to what was happening in the natural. We sang this song, and I clapped real hard, and I jumped up and down. So if I do all that, maybe this will all happen again. It doesn't happen again. There's not formulas to things pertaining to the presence of God. Psalm 26:3 says he inhabits the praise of his people. So if you want to do anything, be a praiser and worshiper of God and have expectation for the Holy Spirit's ministry. But how he wants to do it, that's up to him. So what they were inclined towards is wanting to seek the experience rather than look to hear from God. And that's what God's saying here, is not to do that. Don't seek the experience. The Lord in 1 Kings 19 shows the same type of scenario with Elijah the prophet. He is completely frazzled from killing the 850 false prophets, outrunning the king's chariot. I mean, all that he did there, he was completely spent. He was empty. And then Jezebel hears about what he did and threatens, she's going to kill him. "I'm going to do to you like you did to these false prophets." Now, if he just watched God deliver him and bring fire from heaven and kill false prophets, why should he be worried about this one queen? The problem was he was empty. And he needed a fresh word from God. So he flees. And he begins to, when God confronts him and speaks to him, he says, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one serving the Lord." See, he wasn't seeing things right. He was convinced, because it records he said it twice. "I'm the only one. There's no one else." And God says, "I got 7,000 more that did not bow the knee to Baal. You're not the only one, Elijah." And the angel comes and takes him to a cave, to a mount. And he's there, and it says a strong wind came and ripped the mountain apart, an earthquake. These things happen, and God wasn't in that. Then God spoke to him in a still small voice. And in that still small voice, he gave him a word for the rest of his life. You see, Elijah had just come to where he finished what he had from God. He confronted this evil King Ahab and the false prophets of Baal. And judgment came, but he thought it was over. God's saying, "It's not over, and you're not the only one. And I'm going to take you to a place where I'm going to speak to you again. And it's not in the wind or the earthquake or anything else, but rather in that still small voice." And God spoke a word to him, "Go anoint Elisha in your place and two other kings." What he needed was another word from God about his life to the end. See, we live from word to word from God. There are times where you know a certain thing's fulfilled, and then what? Like you graduate high school. Well, then what? It's interesting, when you become a senior, everybody's asking you, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And they just mean well, just trying to be interested in you. "What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" Don't be afraid to say, "I don't know, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to seek the Lord and find out." sometimes people feel they have to come up with something. I remember hearing from someone who went to a particular Bible college, and this person told me at the end of the time, different ones were saying, yeah, God's called me to be this and do that and go here. And the ones that didn't have that yet felt like they were like second rate. Something was wrong with them. No, they just didn't hear yet. They just didn't know. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Sometimes there's questions people have that I don't know the answer to, but as a teacher, I want to find out. So I'll try to find out, Lord, what's the answer to this question? So God gave Elijah a word that would carry him to the end. Sometimes people are always looking for a new word. And you have certain people, like you think there's a different prophecy every week. Did they ever actually walk in any of them and fulfill anything? Usually not, because you wouldn't be looking for new things. When you live by the word, you keep your eyes on that. And then when it's finished, well, the Lord's going to have to bring another whatever to you. And we all have different seasons to our life. And there's times there has to be like a fresh word. For example, in parenting, I'll especially speak to you mothers here. You know, when your kids grow and leave the house, there's what you would call the empty nest. And that can be a very real crisis for some people, because they were living in the purpose to raise their kids God's way. Now that's gone. This is an example where you need a fresh word from God. Now what am I to do? And the Lord's faithful. He will show you if you seek him. Now what am I to do? Because that chapter, I remember when our youngest son left, it just hit me as a chapter in the book of our life had come to a close. A chapter, not the only chapter, a chapter. Okay, Lord, what else? Well, the one good thing when you enter that phase is you now have more time. Because anybody that raises kids knows how much time it takes to do a good job at that. So as you get older, you actually end up, or should end up, we have more time to serve the Lord. You know, a young family has to devote a lot of time to the development of the marriage, raising kids and so forth. But you still serve the Lord. But as you get more time released, we should have a fresh sense of, God, what would you have me to do with this? Not, well, now I can waste all this on my own pleasure. But rather, I can do more, Lord. What would you have me to do? Well, Jesus is telling the disciples, don't seek just the experience of the wonderful glory of God. There's times for that, but then we go on in the plan of God. The early church made this error, and often the early church is held in high regard, and in a lot of ways it should be. But the commandment of the Lord was to go into all the world, preach the gospel before he ascended. They didn't obey that. The glory of God was so great in Jerusalem, they just wanted to stay there. So then the persecution came like 10 years later and drove them from their homes. They lost everything. They lost everything anyway. They had to just flee with what they could carry on their back. Not what they could pack in the trunk of their car. What they could carry on their back. Maybe they had a donkey or something to pack someone there. But they had to flee. Then they came into the obedience to that word and began to share the gospel everywhere. So at any point along the way, we can allow ourselves to just, I just want to, my own joy and pleasure, something enjoying. It can be good things, godly things. But we should live our life in a way as, Lord, what is your word to me? That's the governor of my life. So the voice of God comes out of that cloud and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Don't be seeking the same experience he had. Don't expect to hear from Moses and Elijah. Listen to him. Hebrews 1:1, it says, God in times past spoke by the prophets, but now is speaking to us by his son. Jesus has word for us. He has commandments for us. He has a plan for us, a purpose for us. What we want to do is position ourselves to hear him. So the two things we see that govern the walk of Jesus was he continued to offer up strong prayer because death was all around him. But he also set himself to hear from God because he understood he lived according to the word and walked in the strength and power of that word, and that word charted the course for him. Now, this is very simple, but it's nice when simple things are profound and can rule your life. I'm glad the things that should rule my life are not complicated and hard. My wife was on a certain website looking for certain thing. There was all these instructions. And in our conversation, this is complicated. This thing's hard to understand. It's hard to navigate. It's complicated. Well, if we want the answer to it, we have to delve into figuring out this complicated thing. You all had that happen, right? You're on some website, and it's complicated. You think, what's wrong with the person that conjured this thing up? They didn't make it easy to understand. A lot of times in life, things can get complicated. But the pattern and principles of the Word of God are simple. Praise God. They are simple. They are simple. To continue to offer up strong prayer and position ourselves to hear from God. And that's especially important as you've emptied yourself, as you're being drained by the affairs of life, or as you come to a completed sense of a certain season of life or a certain thing the Lord's told you to do. We need a fresh word from God. And don't allow anxiety to come if you find yourself there. God wants to speak to you. Now, I'll just finish with John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. We need to release faith for God to speak to us. Like, be in faith about that. Expect it. Lord, you said, my sheep hear my voice. I'm your sheep. So I expect you to speak to me. And secondly, it says, and he knew them or had a relationship and they followed him. It gets hard to hear someone if you get farther away from them. You need to be close enough to hear. We need to have a relationship to continue to hear one another. And if we are the sheep of the Lord, expect to hear his voice and follow him. Be where he is. Where is he? Well, he's in all of us. But he walks a journey of the love walk and the plans of the Father. So it's real simple. Expect to hear from God. Expect to hear his voice in the morning when you wake up. Expect to hear him when you walk along the way, when you're traveling. A lot of times the Lord's spoken to me and I was doing just something in the natural, something, just something you have to do in life type of stuff. And the Spirit of God will speak to me. And I think the reason he does that at times is that nothing else was really on your mind. You know, the kind of menial thing is to do like you're taking a shower and there's nothing really on your mind. You're putting shampoo on your hair and you hear the voice of God. And there are, other various type situations. Sometimes the Lord will speak. The thing that's important for us is that our mind is quiet. It's not really on anything. And thus, we're in a position to hear his voice and know it's him. For me, another prime time of hearing from God is during worship. Because during worship, all of my focus is just on him. I'm not thinking about other stuff. It's not a good thing to say, Lord, I got this problem, and you're just thinking about the problem. Speak to me, and all you do is thinking about that problem. How do you know it's you, your head, or him, if all you're doing is thinking about the problem? I find for me, it usually catches me when I'm not expecting it. It'll speak to me. And I know, I wasn't thinking about this. I know that was the Spirit of God. So it was just some food for thought there relative to this. But expect to hear his voice. Position yourself to hear his voice And then as he speaks to us, receive that. Let the Spirit of God minister to your heart that which he wants to minister from that word.